Dink ons is vanoggend vir ons stel om in Engels te wees, so verskoon my Engels. Ek het in die week 'n paar Engelse meetings gehad, maar my Engels was heel week op gewees. Ek weet jy, ek kon nie die woorde vind nie. En ek wil sommer net die vrouwens gaan nou dink ek het dalk iets probleem met die vrouwens, maar ain't it beautiful to hear men testify about the goodness of God. So baie keer vind ons dit waar vrouwens regtig opgewonde, which is beautiful. But our society needs men that is powerfully testifying of God's goodness. So thank you for your testimony. And so beautiful for me is that your testimony is just leading us in or just affirming what God wants to share with us this morning and the word that he has for us. I think, Brett, something that you've shared, we've on the Sunday evening, some of you know, and as has been here, we've just been coming together and opening up scripture together and asking the Lord, lead us how to live Christ in all places where we are. Not trying to create and to find some new place to go to, but just where we are already. And how do we do that? It's challenging because all of us finds us in different relationships, and our need for how do I do it there, we think it differs a lot. But your testimony just helps me, and I'm thinking back of my own coming to Christ, and I was thinking, if I had to give advice to someone before I came to Christ, I would have told him, listen, you've got to be 100% equipped how to explain why you believe the Bible. And if that doesn't make sense, you've got to know you're not going to reach me. You've got to be able to explain 100% how evolution and creation, if you don't know how that makes sense, you won't reach me. And I would have given another bit of advice to people, you know. But if I'm looking back, none of that was necessary in that moment. Because there was love and truth that cut my heart in a supernatural way that didn't need all of this. It doesn't mean we don't need it. I'm just encouraging us because we think there's barriers, but some of those barriers actually doesn't apply or is in the way when God is doing something through us in a supernatural way. So it's just an encouragement. It's just, yeah, don't doubt God's power and his work. We're going to say something about that just now. So, I've got to be honest, what I'm sharing this morning, I think I prepared in 15 minutes for a very bad reason. I misunderstood this morning with me and Brett's responsibility. I thought Brett was supposed to be here this morning. So bear with me and trust the Lord. So I think if something that God has been speaking, so now I came back home and Marina says, so what are you going to do? I said, man, luckily I never prepare a sermon in one moment. I don't know, for some of us it works differently, but for me, God has been speaking to me over time, and he's preparing me in a way by what I experience, what I'm exposed to, what I hear, what I read, my own quiet time or whatever, so I'm just continuing with that. And it is connected to what God, I think, has been doing from the beginning of the year. So just for some, maybe someone is visiting this morning, if I have to sum up what God has been speaking about from the beginning of the year, I would say I would put it broadly in two groups, and I would say God has been inviting us to understand his Father heart and have liberty to come to him. He wants us to come. He wants us to have a freedom to come, to know who we are, that he is merciful, that he is full of grace and full of love and full of compassion, and that he wants us to come. And in that, he spoke to us about fear, what it means to fear God but not to be scared of him. spoke about our relationship with God. The other thing that I think that God has spoken to us about continually since the beginning of the year through different sermons and people was about our character and what do we live as Christians. What is the fruit that we bear? Whether it's the fruit of the Spirit, character, how character is formed. In a way, character has to do with our identity. And character influences relationships. So I remember Brett's word on how do we nudge people? Because God's nudging us. And one of the characters of us, if we are becoming matured and holiness, becoming like Jesus, then it's not an isolated character. It's a character that gives, that helps, that encourages, that is with people and helping others. So I've shared some of the stuff that I'm sharing this morning, and hopefully I'll share a lot more as the year goes on. So Marinda and me has been reading a little book since last year somewhere, and just the background of the book is two friends, the one a retired pastor, he had a little bit of disappointment and frustration in him, and he was sharing this with his friend who is a brain neuroscientist, is that the right word? And they were chatting over a coffee, and his friend was listening to his frustration, and he was thinking of everything that he has explored and found, the science found about how the brain works. So I'm coming back to the Bible now, but just the background of the book, it has influenced us, it's still influencing us, and we are studying it to understand God and his ways better. And science, what is beautiful for me, whether it is the type of science that Peter with creation explores or whether it's brain science, the only thing science does is it affirms the truth of the word. It's the only thing it does. It never finds something that is not affirming the Bible. It's always, although the whole society wants to tell us different, if we really look into it, it's just the same. So bear with me as I talk about the brain and brain science. So we know they talk about a left brain and about a right brain, and I can't always like remember which brain does what, but I think QWERTY is a right brain, and I'm a left brain, if I think quickly. So something interesting, what they found if they do scans of the brain, there's one thing that stood out consistently in this. When me and you encounter any situation, and that is any situation, walking in here, the brain starts on one side always. I wonder if you would guess which side it is. The left brain is analytical, facts, order, what else? The right brain is more emotional, disorder, creativity, not disorder, let's say less order. The right brain is much better with people than the left brain. Okay? So, if me and you encounter anything, whether it's your child getting out of the car first day at school, or you walking in here, or coming into the office at work, the first thing that happens in your brain is at the right side of the brain at the back. So they can scan your brain. They know what's happening, where's the activity in the brain. So every wat is die beoordeling van 'n situasie? Alles starts in the right brain. So that thought pattern runs through the right brain, and then only after a while it goes, it's now milliseconds here, goes to the left brain, and then it gets to the facts and the order and the whatever you. But it always starts in the right brain. And just for the left brainers, they reckon the right brain is working 6 times as fast as the left brain. Daniel, that's for you too, because you think your wife's brain is slower than yours. But it's 6 times faster than your brain. So, so now this friend was talking to the pastor. What is the frustration of the pastor? after 40 or 45 years in ministry, his frustration was he never saw the amount of transformation that he thought and that he found in the New Testament. And he thought that would happen through the ministry and through the church. And so he was a bit disappointed with this. And he was thinking, gee whiz, what is the reason that transformation didn't take place as it should? There did transformation did take place, but not as much. And it, I remember to say something about this transformation, because what you see, what you saw this week with that guy was transformation. And what is the ingredients that we need for transformation? Because all of us, if we talk about character and the development of biblical character, we talk about transformation. So what are the influences so that biblical character will be our part? What are we looking for? What is the ingredients of that recipe? So just quickly, I'm now running through this book and through a few chapters in a few moments. But what is it that the writer? So what the brain expert explained to his friend? He says, the left brain will not allow any information to transform the person if the right brain doesn't find certain things. Kan ek dit in Afrikaans ook sê? So, ek kan vir my tiener, is my amper die maklikste plek om dit te sien in my lewe. Ek kan vir my tiener al die waarhede en die regte inligting gee. Dit transformeer hom nie van waar hy is na 'n ander plek toe nie, want hoekom gee ek die inligting vir hom? Hoekom gee ek my life experience vir hom? Hoekom gee ek die waarheid van die woord of waarheid van die lewe gee ek vir hom? I want it to be beneficial to him and to transform the way he look at things and he act in things. So, al die inligting het geen effek op my tiener, as my tiener se regterbrein drie ander dinge nie vind nie. So kom ons, wat is die vraag, wat is, van julle het nou al gehoor, wat is die drie goed wat die regterbrein soek? So die eerste een wat die brein soek is joy. If the atmosphere doesn't have joy, the left brain is a way, in a way it's close to the information. If it doesn't experience love, the left brain is closed. If the right brain doesn't experience a sense of belonging to a clear identity, what do we stand for? What's the identity of where you are inviting me? So three things can be complicated. I actually just want to say something this morning about love. So it's looking for joy. So Miranda sê vir partykeer vir my, maar al die inligting wat jy gee is reg, maar ek voel nie beter. Maar hoekom nie? Want die manier hoe ek het gee, is void van hierdie drie goed wat daar regterbrein soek. En dis nie, dit het nie op party mense betrekking wat regs en links brein, dis betrekking op alle mense. Ook 'n linkerbreiner soek ietsie van joy and love and the identity. We'll say something about that. So nou luister hierdie pastoor na sy breinvriend en hy dink aan sy jare se ervaring en hy dink aan die Bybel en hy gaan na die briewe van Paulus toe. En wat vind hy in die briewe van Paulus? Paulus se briewe is geskryf volgens hoe die brein werk. Paul never brings correction. So what Paul actually does is, wat die ou sê is, as ons die briewe mooi gaan lees, Paul always talks about joy in the beginning of the letters. If you take, Albie has spoken about Ephesians this morning. So if you think about Ephesians, the first three chapters is about joy, the identity of the church, and the love of God and the people for one another and Paul's love for them. That's what the first three chapters is about. Go and read it. And then only in chapter 4, his correction comes in the way of love and joy calls you back to the identity that you actually have in Jesus. It's a calling back to an identity that was already explained and lived by Paul and the church. So why am I sharing this? What has this to do with character? What has it to do? I'm thinking now back. What has God spoken to us about? Our character and our liberty to come to God. Not to be scared of God, but to come. Because he invites us. Last week we said he's our high priest. Jesus made an offering. We are coming because Jesus is good, not because we are good. We've got brokenness and problems. That's why we need to come. We are needy before God. We need him. But we can come with confidence. So hoekom ek vir Elsara gevra het om te skryf hier is, want my skrif is te lelik. So we live in a society that believes this. We live most of the time in churches that believes this. And I practice this many times. And the question is whether this is true. If we can give someone the truth, we can encourage him to make choices and encourage him to allow the power of the Spirit to help him. Then he'll be transformed. Much of our ministry, much of our intentions in life is based on this without us even knowing this. So ons sê, ja, ons moet net sorg dat ons altyd Bybelse waarheid deel en voorhou. Dan moet ons mekaar bemoedig om hierdie waarheid te leef en te gehoorsaam en laat die krag van die Heilige Gees jou toe. En as jy dit reg kry, soos dit doen, dan gaan 'n transformasie in mense se lewens plaasvind. So as ons dink aan wat die brein soek, dan is daar tekortkoming in hierdie approach. Something is missing in this approach. It may be parts of the truth, but it's not the full truth. So it's missing of the main ingredient that leads to transformation. The main ingredient that helps transformation is not present in what is on the board. Die belangrikste deel is nie. So ons was maandag aand by mekaar en ek het sommer vir ons gevra. So as jy, truth is amper ietsie van 'n waarheid wat ons vir iemand gee, wat ons moet leer. So as jy vinnig na mekaar toe draai en sê, wat is die belangrikste ding wat jy vir iemand in hierdie lewe kan leer, wat gaan jy hom leer? Okay, you've got 1 minute or 30 seconds. Dink 'n bietjie. Wat is die belangrikste ding wat jy vir iemand kan leer in hierdie lewe? Jy mag een ding vir hom leer. Wat sal dit wees? The most important thing that you can teach someone, what would it be? Okay, so, gaan ons die Bybel oopmaak of gaan ons probeer, wat is het? Julle lyk baie confident. Okay, julle lyk met ergens weet, maar miskien weet baie van ons. So kom ons maak gou oop by Matteus 22. Matteus 22 vers 37, want hierdie vraag is vir Jesus ook gevra. So what is the most important? What is the most important command? Wat is die belangrikste opdrag in die wet van Moses? So just before we read it, so I think, I find it many times that we would love an individual to grab hold of this and to do this and to live this and to understand it and that they would come breakthrough in their lives when they apply this. Many times. So let's read from Matthew 22. Ek het nou Afrikaans hierso. So ek gaan Afrikaans lees. Jy moet die Here jou God lief hê met jou hele hart en met jou hele siel en met jou hele verstand. Dit is die eerste en belangrikste opdrag. Die tweede, ewe belangrike opdrag. Jy moet jou naaste lief hê soos jouself. Al die ander vereistes van die wet en die profete berus op hierdie twee gebooie. So I think one has to take a moment and define. So the answer would be, if I can teach my children one thing and only one thing, and then it would be to love. To love God and to love people. If I can teach someone that, I think that's the best thing I can teach. And I can bring to them, that's the best truth I can bring to them, to love God and to love people. But in the society that we live, we have to define something of that love. What type of love is it? Wat se liefde beteken ons van? En Daniel, jou getuienis sluit so mooi aan by hierdie woord vir oggend. En Brett sommer net wat sê, hy het nou een dingetjie, hy het 'n simpel storie geleer, maar hy het 'n woord gebruik, and we're going to get to that. There's a, and what type of love is God calling us to? En ek wil net twee van dit lees en dan ietsie sê oor wat die navorsing sê oor hierdie tipe liefde. So as ons daar blaai na klaagliedere toe, ons weet nie van julle nie, maar in die tye wat ek leef, wil ek eintlik klaagliedere lees nie, maar I find in English Lamentations, so klaagliedere. Sorry, Lamentations 3:22. Lamentations 3:22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It describes in more words than the word love what God has for us. And obviously that implies, this is what I'm giving you, Brett said, it's my love towards him which is coming from God, which gave me compassion for him. So the question is, and this is what the pastor's friend was saying, is what the brain is looking for is this type of love. The Hebrew word, if you want to go and read up on it, I'm going to give it as the definition of that, is Hest, H-E-S-E-D, Hest love. And I know many of us have studied on agape love and stuff, but Hest is even broader and deeper than Hest. I'm just going to read a few words that define Hest love. Hest is the wrapping up in itself all the positive attributes of God's love. So all the positive attributes of God is taken in Hest. That's why it's so difficult to explain it with few words. It means love, covenant faithfulness, mercy, grace, kindness, loyalty. This is what we've read in Lamentations. Let's read Lamentations again. This is the type of love that God has for us. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It's enduring. It's forever. His mercies never come to an end. He's merciful. Mercy or grace, what did we say last week? What is the definition of mercy or grace? It is, thank you. Kan nie op die Engels of Afrikaans kom nie. Onverdiende goedheid. Mercy but means I'm good, but it is not earned. It's not earned. And it's the one thing of the Christian faith that separates us from all other faiths. There's no earning in Christian faith because of God's heart, because of his mercy. We can't earn anything before him. So his mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. He's faithful. So what this brain friend said to the pastor, he says, what the church is in great need of is that we would live this kind of love towards one another. It's a deep compassion that endures forever. That mercy means it can deal with any mistake. Faithfulness means whatever Daniel do, I'm going to stick with Daniel, or what Christoph does. I'm faithful to him. And when the brain doesn't experience this, transformation is not taking place. And it is, if we have to write something here, what did I do with the pen? So one ingredient that we have to put here on the side, because I see in church and in ministry that we can have all these three present without this. And it doesn't lead to transformation. Can we see it? Do you see it? Do you experience it? We need this to be the foundation. Not this or this or even this. Sometimes we want to make the Holy Spirit the foundation. Sometimes we want to make the truth the foundation. We want to make your own choices and your own way of handling everything that you received. But the foundation is back to the commandment when Jesus was asked, what is the most important? He said, to live hest, to live with love towards God and towards people. And what, I'm going to read something from the book, just one short passage. One thing research. And research sometimes would discover new things. Otherwise, it's just collecting data which confirms something. So the research I'm talking about is just collecting data, a lot of data, and it's confirming something. Now, what it confirms is that if this is not the foundation, if this is not there, this doesn't take place. We can give someone the truth, the goodness, and the good choices and the power. There's no transformation. So it's enduring relationships. It's gluey. It's sticky. It says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm with you. And at the end, what data shows is it is this type of relational glue present that leads to good character, that leads to liberty before God. It's not the other things. So dis wanneer ons in hierdie tipe verhouding kan leef, wat iemand iets van God se hart begin sien deur jou, en dan die vrymoedigheid het om na God toe te gaan op 'n manier. En hoe kan die Here ons help? It's forever, it's loyal, it's care, it's compassion. So ek gaan afsluit om daai kort stukkie uit die boek uit te lees, met nog een skrif. When hest replaces truth as the foundation of discipleship, the whole model self-corrects. Can I read it again? When hest, this type of relational love that the church needs so much and that the brain is searching for in community, when that replaces truth, correction starts to take place. Placing love at the core of transformation processes allows truth, choices, and power to play their role. Can I say it again? When we place love at the core of the transformation process, when Brett is visiting someone and this type of love is at the core, the little bit of truth that he shares can play its role. When he experiences hesed love from bread, the choices can play its role, and the Holy Spirit can play its role. What Daniel is sharing about and inviting us to is so that his wife would experience this love. Not the truth and the choices he has to make and what the Holy Spirit can do, but this love. So those three elements can now play their proper role and not bear a weight they were never intended to do. So sometimes we put weight to the power of the Spirit or to your choices or to the truth that it was never intended to bear. Ons hoor dit, nê. It does play a role. It has some weight. But it can only play its role if Hester is present. Developments in modern brain science have made it clear that any model of transformation and character change must be anchored in the development of a love bond with God and his people. It's nothing new. It's just the Lord needs to do it for us. He needs to help me. So on Monday evening, we read one scripture together and we said, let's pray for one another that God is making this scripture true for me personally. So I want to do that here as well. Let's read from Matthew 9, verse 36. And this scripture has caught me by heart many, many years ago. And this scripture, if we want God to use us, he must do this in us. Matthew 9, verse 36. Matthew 9, 36. Ek lees sommer eers in Afrikaans. Toe Jesus na die baie mense kyk, het hy ontroerd geraak oor hulle seerkry en weerloosheid. Daarop sê hy vir sy disippels, die oes is groot, maar die werkers is min. Actually, I just want to read verse 36. Let me read the English. Verse 36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like a sheep without a shepherd. And if we had time, we could ask, what do we see here? But the question for me and you this morning is, do we see people? Do we see? And when we see people, do we see the need? And if we see the need, does it bring compassion to our hearts? To the point where we do something. And Jesus taught them. Jesus brought them. And he started to teach them. So if this, and this is describing something of Jesus' heart. And Albie has read from Ephesians 4:11 this morning about the different gifts that Jesus brought. And if me and you are to become like Jesus, something of a shepherd and the heart of the shepherd, God has to wake in each one of us. Lord, awake a shepherd heart in me to have compassion with people so that I can bring your Hest love to them. The truth of Jesus followed his Hest love for the people. Didn't go before. He had his love in him from the Father towards the people. He saw them, he saw their needs, he had compassion for that needs, and he acted on it. And I just want to encourage us as a congregation, so this is supernatural, the same way God changed the guy that bred, opened his eyes. We need the Lord to ask us to change our hearts, to look at our children, to look at our neighborhood, to look at the one that works with me, the one that's irritating me at work. Lord, give me his love. The one that irritates me in church, Lord, give me his love in my heart towards that person. And we will see it's only when we really, and we have it. There's pockets and communities of this in the church, and many of us living it. But let's trust God that it would be for everyone in our church. And the new people coming, that his love will be present amongst us. It's only when that is happening, when we see the Father for who he is, and the character that has to develop in all us, develop because of his love, and this is playing a secondary role. Let's pray together. Vader, dankie dat ons vanoggend Here kan weet dat liefde net van hierdie tipe liefde, Here, net van U af kan kom. And we come, Lord, we in a way when it comes to this type of love, Lord, we have to say that we are helpless, Lord. That we are like without a shepherd sometimes. And therefore this morning we come to the only shepherd that can help us with this, Lord, and we come to say, Lord, we have a desire because our own hearts yearn for this, Lord. We yearn to receive it. And therefore we yearn to be able to give it so that others may receive it too, Lord. Now I pray, Father, that the love, that the way we love one another will carry weight, Lord. It will carry endurance, Lord. It will carry a genuineness. It will carry a care, Lord. And that it will bring safety to all of us, that we will feel safe with one another. I pray this for our marriages, Lord. I pray this for our homes. And I pray this for our small groups. And we pray it for us as a community of believers, Lord. That we will be safe with one another. That when we see one another, the right brain will find his love as we engage with one another. We truly need your help with this, Lord. We need you to impart something of your shepherd heart in us, that so that we may have compassion for everyone that we engage with. Give us a compassion, Lord, that can only come from you. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus. And we ask, Father, for your blessing to be with everyone, your spirit to be with everyone in this coming week. May we walk with you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.